not an endurance tonight to hear me and all these other preachers that's been here this week to preach. And Brother Mays asked me if I'd preach, and well, that's my business. Amen. I'm a preacher. Yes, sir. I'm not a minister. I'm a preacher. That's right. A lot of folks, you know, they're always looking for a mixer. One woman told me some time back, said, we don't have much of a preacher, but said, we've got a wonderful mixer. Well, I said, you can get them Sears Roebuck. Well, bless God, I'm a mixer, but I'm looking for somebody to preach when I'm born to preach. I think about all the preach like the house is on fire, hell's the front yard, and the devil's a climbing the back window. Amen? I believe all to get excited about what he's preaching about. Amen? I heard a fellow say one time years ago, he said, if a man is up preaching, he said, I want him to make me think he believes what he preaches, whether he does or not. Yes, sir. I really want to get excited about this thing of living for God Almighty. There's nothing more thrilling in all this world than to serve God and live for Jesus Christ. I played football for 9 years, and believe it or not, I was a backfield man. Now, I know I look like the whole front line now, but I was a backfield man. And believe it or not, I can outrun a scared hate, brother. I've got a scrapbook at the house where I run touchdowns and pitch no-hit ball games and all that. And there's never been a boy that ever played sports that loved ball any more than I did. I'm telling you what's the truth. I live to play ball. But I never had ball games to ever thrill my heart like serving Jesus Christ. I never had hunting to ever thrill me like serving Jesus Christ. And I love to hunt. I love to go fishing. I love to go on a picnic. I love all these good things. And I'm sure that they have their place somewhere in our life. But I want to tell you right now, there's nothing that excels going to God's house and hearing the preaching of God's blessed word. But I tell you, I've been to auction sales, and those fellas, they're practiced up to get you excited. I mean, they're looking for every dime in your pocket. And I walk in here, get up and say, and he's gone, brother. And everybody's sitting there looking goggle-eyed and wondering what's happening. And I mean, boy, after a while, everybody's pointing at us and hollering, hey! And you buy something you didn't want to buy. I went to Johnson City, Tennessee, and for the last few weeks or months now, I've had a sugar problem. They said I had a sugar problem. I reckon I just got so sweet, that's all it is good. But anyhow, I got where I go to sleep, and I went to a mule sale in Johnson City, Tennessee, back in the spring of last year, and me and two fellas, and I sitting up there asleep, and they're selling a little half pony mule, one little pony sized mule, and they got the $39. I sit up there asleep. I said, hey, and hollered out, and brother, I bought it for $40. And somebody said, what's your name? And somebody punched me, and the fellow said, hey, what's your name? I said, Billy Kelly. Well, I didn't even know I'd bought the thing. I'm honest before God, I didn't even know that I'd bought that mule. Well, after a while, the sale's over. Two fellas had let me said, you going to get that mule? I said, what mule? I said, that mule you bought. I said, man, I didn't buy no mule. They said, you didn't do it. I said, I didn't buy no mule. And so I went down to the office, and they just kept after me. I thought they was pulling my leg. And I walked in, and sure enough, I'd paid $40 for a mule. And I didn't have no way to get it home, and I had to end up selling that thing for $39. Lost a dollar for going to sleep. Well, what do you think about that? Well, listen, friend, these auctioneers, I've been to auction sales, I've been to ball games, I've been on trips and had a time, but I never had anything to ever stir me like living for God Almighty. Bless God, I'll tell you right now, the devil can bribe you and stomp you down, and you can feel like that the world's caving in, and the sun will never shine, the storms have come upon you forever, and about that time, God will come tiptoeing across the back porch of your soul and kick over a barrel of honey. Amen. And bless God, it'll go to oozing and running everywhere. And the next thing you know, you're done on cloud nine, hollering hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah. Because there's nothing like living for Jesus Christ. And brother, I'll tell you right now, outside of soul salvation, there's nothing thrilling you anymore than to see somebody else saved by God's wonderful, amazing grace. I want to say something tonight. This don't sound too important to a lot of folks, and they'll sit back and gaze one another and giggle and whack on their chewing gum. Some go to sleep, and some never pay no attention. But I'll tell you, folks, listen, find out the direct will of God for your life. Amen. I mean, find out the direct will of God. Not the permissive will of God, but the direct will of God. I want to say, if you find out, you young people tonight, if you find out the direct will of God in your early life and begin to practice what God wants you to do, you can head off many of a heartache that'll come your way. I believe you'll live in the right community if you know the direct will of God. I believe you'll marry the right person. Some of you done said right now, done missed that. Amen. But anyhow, brother, I'll tell you, you'll marry the right person. I believe you'll have the right kind of a job. I believe you'll have the right church. You'll go to the right church. And you won't have to swap every 30 days and be known as a trunk Christian. Amen. That's right. A lot of people, they're buzzard Christians. That's what they are. Only time you ever see them is when a funeral takes place or a stinks up. Huh? That's right. That's the only time you ever see a buzzard. You don't even look for a buzzard if there's not something dead around. And you let somebody die, here they come. They ain't been to church in 6 months, but they'll come sailing in, amen. Or you let a stink get up, they fix to run the preacher off, or get rid of the some deacon. Man, they can smell a stink for 400 miles. I don't know, God must have fixed it in a buzzard somehow to pick up stinking things. I mean, he just smell a stink, they just something about it. I come by a hog pen one day, and it looked to me like there's 100 buzzards is roosting in that hog pen. Well, nothing to eat around there, but it sure smelt good to them, I reckon. They're all sitting up there in the tree, smelling that old stinking hog pen, and it had deceived them. They'd come in from all over that portion around Meridian, Mississippi, and there's a lot of old buzzards down there. Amen. And wasn't all of them hanging around that hog lot, did you know that? Why, there's one called me on the phone and she said, "You old buzzard, you call me what?" She said, "Why don't you take your wings and fly back where you come from?" And she is mad because I said something about her snuff, tube rolls, Garrett's or something other. She got mad and she called me up and gave me a good cuss now. She said, "I'll be glad not to see you for the last time." I said, "Honey, if you're saved, you haven't seen me for the last time." I said, "If you're saved, you're going to see me and live with me in glory forever." And I said, "If you ain't saved, I'm going to sit in the balcony to heaven. They throw you into hell, I'm going to holler hallelujah. Amen." That's right. You didn't read that, you go and read it. Your mind will be changed. You'll have the mind of God Almighty. You'll say amen to the truths of God and to God's ways and God's doings, my friend. That's the truth if ever I told it. Now, you couldn't do that tonight. Then none of us could holler amen to throwing at it, mothers in hell and children in hell. But when you get the mind of God, you find out that the righteousness of God, the wholeness of God, and the purity of God Almighty was right, in spite of mama, daddy, youngins, and everybody else, you'll say amen to the truths of God Almighty. That's in the book. You say, "I can't swallow that." Well, choke on it. Amen. So anyhow, bless God, whether you believe it or don't believe it, that's right. I tell you what's the truth. A lot of people up and down the country, they're looking for a little mealy mouth, back scratching, compromising, ear tickling, pussy foot, mud hole waller, cigarette sucking, poodle dog carrying preacher. They get up and talk so soft that it sounds like he's got a bunion on his tongue and a hernia on his lung. I never get excited. That's right. I was at a meeting the other day, and a fella got up and stomped out because I said something about the lodge hall. And you know what? I've got plumb mean here lately. I got to holler, "Goodbye! Goodbye! Goodbye!" Amen. All he is, I leave it out. And I said, "Bless God, does anybody else want to go? Leave $10 so we can fumigate where you are sitting." Amen. And the rest of you can leave. Now listen, friend, God's word so, and it stands when the world's on fire. You can mark that down. It certainly will. I'll tell you, find out the will of God for your life tonight. You say, "Well, preacher, it's a hard thing to know." Well, I'll grant you a lot of times it is a hard thing to know the direct will of God. But I'd get over here in a sinkhole somewhere. I'd get over on the back side of the mountain over here. Glory to God, or on top of the mountain. I'd get out in a holler. Glory to God, in the groundhog hole if I had to. I'd call on God. I'd ring the bells of heaven till I found out what God wanted me to do in this life. Huh? And God will use you. I used to pray when I first got saved, "Oh, Lord, use me. God, use me somewhere. Lord, you." And one day God said, "Son, why don't you quit praying that prayer?" He said, "You get usable, and I'll use you." Amen. That's just how simple it is, huh? Reason God doesn't use some folks, why, they're not usable. One dear lady came to D.L. Moody, the famous evangelist, and said, "Mr. Moody, I'd give the world to have what you have." And old E.L. Moody looked at her and said, "Lady, that's exactly what it cost me. It cost me the world." And if you're going to have power with God, if you're going to have victory with the Lord, find out the direct will of God and get in the battlefield for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I appreciate the privilege to be here. appreciate Brother Dawson inviting us to come this way. And then I appreciate Brother Mays calling on me tonight. And I hope that I have something that will be a blessing to you. Now, a lot of times I told the pastor, when I, Brother Jackson, when I get up to preach, a lot of times I really don't know what God wants me to preach. I mean, I'm subject to preach everything in the Bible. I've been known to do that on a few occasions just about. Starting Genesis and just preach till it look like everybody's tired. But I'm going to tell you something. I ain't got nothing to do but serve God. I hadn't got another thing to do. Not another thing. And you say you got to go back home. I come up here expecting to go home. Amen. Bless God. I'd just soon leave Mount Airy's anywhere I know of. And you say about your wife and children. They're saved. We'll meet in there. Praise God. And I haven't got a thing to do. I don't peddle vacuum cleaners. I don't sell Johnson's wax. And I don't ring the doorbell and say, Avon calling. I ain't got a job of doing that. No, sir. All I got to do is preach and stand for God and live for the Lord.
Yes.
And so if it gets too long, just wave at me or something. We'll try to slow down. But I want to bring something that I hope will be a blessing to you tonight. If you got your Bible, turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles tonight, as we take a text from the blessed Word of God. The Acts of the Apostles, begin reading in the 16th chapter. Now, here's a chapter that's thrilling to me. And a lot of folks are kind of mixed up on the thing, I think. They tell you that Paul and Silas were prisoners behind the prison bars. It's true. They're behind the prison bars, but friend, they're free. Amen. I mean, they're free. Oh, you say, yeah, but they're behind the prison bars. And there's prisoners. No, they's free. Did you ever read John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 32, where Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free? Huh? They put you behind the jail bars, no Mount Air, and that make you a prisoner. Bless God, you're free in the Lord, free in Christ. And the old jailer that's talked about here in this portion of God's Word, he was the one that was bound up. He was the prisoner. He is bound in his sins, bound in his trespasses, didn't know God, wasn't looking for God, alienated from God, damned, doomed, and blinded, to spend eternity in the charred walls of hell. And here's this man. He's sound asleep, but he is a prisoner. He is a prisoner, my friend. He was bound up, and he's on his road to hell. And I want to read the story to you tonight and bring the message from this portion of God's Word. In verse 25 of chapter 16 of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and said that there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. Then the jailer called for light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the master sent the sergeant, saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the masters have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. Now if we look into the story tonight, here's Paul and Silas in the calaboose. They're down in the jailhouse. Friend, I want to bring you a message tonight. Notice here in verse 26, it says, in the middle of the verse, and immediately the door were open. Now then in verse 27, notice in the middle of the verse, and seeing the prison doors open. I'm going to talk to you tonight on getting your prison doors open. May we bow our heads in just a moment of prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we look to you tonight. Thank you for amazing grace. Thank you for that good hour. Hallelujah. When God's love reached down in the mud and the mire, lifted us up and set our feet upon a solid rock. Oh, God, it's never been the same since that day, since Jesus washed our sins away. And then for that good hour, when heaven, thank God, moved into our hearts and we became joint heirs with Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Now, Lord, you know what we need in this hour tonight? Now, I pray that you bless everything that's said and done. May it honor thy precious name. Thank you for Jubilee time. And God's people can come together and rejoice in the blessings of heaven. Now, Lord, I haven't come tonight to entertain nor to be entertained, but I've come tonight to preach the gospel of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Burn out the sin tonight. Burn out the alloys, the drugs, everything that keep us from living for God. Help us tonight, God, to get on the battlefield and to find out the direct will of God as the prison bars swing open. Have your precious way in the service tonight, and we'll give you honor, praise, and glory for it. Save those that are unsaved. Call on the backsliders. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And his name alone do we pray. Amen and amen. Some years ago, I was down in Decatur, Georgia, and they asked me to preach a message that night. And just as I started up in the pulpit, the speaker of the house stepped up, and he said, I look for a fellow back here by the name of Poor Boy, I believe they call him. They come up and give his testimony. They call him this fella, and a great big tall guy, I guess he is 6'4", or 6'5", inches tall, got up out of his feet. He had a crew haircut. He came down, stepped upon the platform, and looked out at that crowd, and he said, folks, for 30 years, I've been known behind the prison bars in the state of Georgia as Poor Boy. But he said, thank God tonight, I'm a child of God, and I've been saved by the amazing grace of God Almighty. And that man, while he was testifying, I was sitting in the seat behind him. I never seen as many scars upon one man's head in all my life. And that man told how that for 30 long years he'd been behind the prison bars. But now then, he gave his testimony. How that one night, glory to God, he bowed in the old cell and cried out and asked God to save his soul from a devil's hell. Now that man didn't know what I was going to preach about. The pastor of the church didn't know what I was going to preach about. But I stepped up. I already had my message and what God had laid on my heart for the hour. And I was to bring the message that night. And I preached on getting your prison bars open. And it looked like that God had just illustrated to this crowd that he's still in the prison bar opening business. Amen. He let this fellow out, and he had gone down through all the years. Now, as you come to the text tonight, at the midnight hour, Paul and Silas were in the old jail. Their backs had been beaten. I'll tell you, trouble, distress was upon them. And old Paul said at the midnight hour unto Silas, he said, son, would you hush the field? And we're going to sing a little bit, and we're going to have a prayer meeting, and then we're going to try to get a little rest before morning. And boy, I'll tell you, old Silas looked around and said, all right, he's in this thing number 23. And they got to singing, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not walk, he leadeth me beside the still waters, he restored my soul. Boy, listen, Elvis Presley may have sung the jailhouse rock, but God is the first one that ever rocked one. Amen. I want to tell you, at the midnight hour, that old jail began to reel, and she began to rock. As it did so, the Bible tells how that the prison doors opened. God looked down on the scene. And God said, listen, he said, my old boys have been in that jail long enough, and I'm going to let them out. Now, I was sitting in those prison bars, bless God, I began to reel and rock, and bore the doors open. Paul and Silas came walking out. Now, that old jailer was in there, sound asleep, and all of a sudden, he just shook out of the bed. Amen. I could see him as he hit the old floor, and he jumps up, he came running in. The Bible said, trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas, and he cried out, and he said, sirs, whoever heard of a jailer calling prisoners sirs. That was just one thing about it. He wanted to get born again. Amen. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, join a Camelot church and get baptized, and thou shalt be saved. Is that what they said? No, sir. You can get baptized in every tadpole in the creek and shake hands with all the catfish, honey, and bind go to hell if you don't get washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen?
And I want to tell you, friend, sister, they didn't tell you to join some church. You know, you turn the radio on, you hear some of these fellows, that's all they ever talk about. It's to get baptized. And until the way he says it, what he is, right there. He's a water dog. Amen. That's what he is. He resists that the water is essential to salvation. I'll tell you, friend, sister, if I believe I save the water, I'd never sing about the blood. I'd never preach about the blood. I'd take every sermon in the Bible out that said anything about the blood. I'd have every song out of the book that said anything about the blood. I'd never sing what can wash away my sins. Nothing but the blood. I'd change that thing. I'd sing what can wash away my sins. Nothing but the water. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the water. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain I know. Nothing but the water fountain. Amen. I never sang at the cross, where I first saw the light. I sang at the mill pond, where I first jacked up. Amen. I never sang Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I sang Amazing Baptism, how sweet the splash. If I say the water, I'm not saying the water. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Thank God. Now somebody said, well, preacher, that's awful. They should say things about denominations and about Christianity. Let's please, I don't belong to the ministerial assassination. Amen. That's one reason I'm an independent Baptist preacher tonight. That's God, I'm fed up with all this hell raising in churches up and down the country. False doctrine. A bunch of liars in the pulpits. Listen, friend, I want to tell you tonight, they didn't tell it. They get baptized. Now, tell you another thing. They didn't tell him to join the Jehovah's false witnesses either. The 144,000. Some fellow came to me the other day and he said, those Jehovah's Witnesses, he said they used to be known as Russellites. Then they became known as the Watchtower Society. And now they're the Jehovah's Witnesses. He said, can you tell me why did they change their name so much? I said, don't all crooks, alias Joe, alias John, if I didn't believe in a burning hell, I'd change my name. If I didn't believe in heaven, like the Bible teaches it, I'd change my name. If I didn't believe my friends, what the Bible says concerning the Godhead, that is a Trinity, and so on and so forth, I'd change my name. Amen. Certainly would. I'll tell you, friends, they didn't tell them to get into the 144,000. I heard this fella, Garner Ted Armstrong, some time back. He said there's no such thing as a burning hell. He said it's an old English word spelled H-E-L. And he said there's no such thing as a burning hell. He said it's an old English word which means a dark hole in the ground. Now he said when we was boys, he said we used to dig the potatoes. And he said my daddy and my grandpa would have us to put the potatoes in the dark hole in the ground in hell. I thought, yeah, God stick you in hell. You'll come out a baked tater. Amen. Amen. I want to tell you one thing right now, honey. Listen. The Bible said it's a place where the worm dies not and the fire's not quenched, huh? That's exactly what it said. Now listen, they didn't tell him to join up the 144,000, the Jehovah's Witness. They didn't tell him, my friends, to go down and join up with the Whiskopalians. That's right, the Episcopalians. I call them Whiskopalians. In 1955, when they voted it was all right for their clergymen to drink liquor, they've been Whiskopalians to me ever since then. You say, that's rubbing me wrong. Well, turn around, bless God, and I'll rub you a few strokes in the other direction. That's right. Listen, friend, I want to tell you one thing right now. Bless God, I didn't tell him to join up. I was the Methodist, the Presbyterians, not even the Baptists. Some years ago, I had an old great grandma. She went out west, out to the state of Texas. And while she's out there, she came in contact with that damnable doctrine that the Christian Scientist puts out. And she said, there's no such thing as pain. Yes, sir. I heard that junk all my life. They had verses over there in Ezekiel chapter, 6 and verse 16. If you cut yourself, you could quote scripture and walk around the closet and quote scripture to yourself. And it stopped people from bleeding and all of that. And that's old Christian Scientist doctrine and all of that. But anyhow, they had it bound in the mountains back there where I believe and believe that. Yes, God, I got news for you. You cut your leg off and you bleed. You put that down, you bleed. In fact, the insurance company that I have my hospitalization with paid a dear widow just a few days ago $42,000. Her husband got shot through the leg while he was deer hunting and bled to death before they got out of the woods. But anyhow, I got the United States Army, and I found an old boy. He was a Christian Scientist. I soon found out he wasn't either one of them. He wasn't no Christian, and he wasn't no scientist. He wasn't either one of them. And he said that if you hurt, you think you hurt. He said, it's all in your head. That's all it is. Well, one day I had the toothache. He said, it's all in your head. Maybe about half mad. I said, you ever hear the toothache anywhere else? Who ever heard the toothache in my ankle? Who ever heard the toothache in the heel? And this guy said it was all in the way that you think. Well, in those 2 years that I spent in the United States Army, I had to take a bath a few times. And one day I went to take a shower. And when I got out, this Christian Scientist was taking a shower. And I had to go through his to get into mine. If you know Army style, you got just a big bunch of showers, and you go pick out one. And when I went through this fellow's shower, he had the cold water on. I said, whoop, turn it off! He said, it's all in your head. He said, if you think it's hot, it's hot. If you think it's cold, it's cold. He said, if you think it's lukewarm, it's lukewarm. I said, you turn that cold water off and turn that other faucet on. You find out whether it's in your head or not. That's got that hot water to hit his hide. He'd have found out whether it's in his head, amen? Listen, I'm an old country boy. I kill hogs about every year. In fact, this is the first year that I haven't killed hogs in a minute of time. But after a hog's dead, I put him in hot water, and every hair on him comes off. Is that right? Hot water makes hair come off. Amen. Next time you find one of these Christian scientists that says it's all in your head, he doesn't believe in pain, you catch him with his back turned, get you a good straight beard, and find out what he believes. Amen. Now, let me tell you something, bud. I want to tell you right now, they didn't tell him that John the Christian Scientist. They didn't tell him that John up with the gooses, the mooses, the hoodows, the pole cats, and nothing else. They didn't tell him that John the odd fellas. One man said to me the other day, he said, I'm an odd fella. I said, I'll agree with you. You're just about as odd as I ever met. Amen. I'll tell you, friends, listen. Last night, there's a lot of folks that's joined up that ever kind of a lot call. I want to tell you something. Anytime there's got to get curtains over the windows and a sergeant arms at the door, you better watch that outfit. Yeah. I told a large hall fellow the other day, I said, look, me and you brothers from the Lord, if that thing's so good, Julian, what you tell me about it?
I said, you go down there, join up with that thing, and you bet you down there, you don't believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, and you and him's got some secrets? And me, your brother, and the Lord, you wouldn't tell me about it? Shame on you. Come on, look now.
I went to a funeral the other day, bless God, I've never seen such a thing in my life. If I'd come in here looking like that crowd looked, you ought to laugh yourself half to death. I went to that funeral here, these fellas were, and I want to tell you one thing, brother, listen. They had their little aprons on and a little hat sitting over their head. And they all come a-praying in that with a little apron's on it.
That's exactly what it reminded me of. That's right. Now listen to me.
I was there and tell him, John, no large hall, and go out sick and light, and see what Jubilo and Jubilo and Jubilo thought about it. That's not all to tell you, my friends, thank God. Listen, one fellow told me the other day, he said, you ought to join the Masons to go through New York, right? And said, you'd see Jesus. I said, I'm ahead of you, I went to Calvary. Amen, thank God. It's hard. For some large hall and take an oath that I'll have my tongue pulled out, my ankles cast out, and my body, and my sins afflicted in some way. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost of God, and the Bible said, pull upon God, everybody in the skin which are healed. Yours? No. Healed.
All right. Now listen, they didn't tell you what they say. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Boy, I want to tell you, when they said that, there's a transaction took place between heaven and earth that that fella never did get over. Bless God. I think when we get to glory one of these mornings, we're going to see him. Why? He got his prison door open. I mean, bro, you talk about getting set free. He heard something he'd never heard before. And since he came to Calvary, he came to God's Son. He got born again by the marvelous grace of God Almighty. And that's always what happens when Jesus comes around. Amen?
Look over there in the book of Mark chapter 1 and begin in verse 40. Oh, that's a friend's story told of a man that had leprosy. He tried everything in the world. He'd gone to all the quack doctors. He tried everything. He tried this, he tried that. Tried all their medicine and everything. But the Bible said one day, thank God, he came to Jesus. Hallelujah! I want to tell you, when he came to Jesus, he got his prison doors open. Came to Jesus, it touched the heart of God. And I want to tell you, friend, there's never been a sinner that ever came to God. If that didn't move the heart of God Almighty, it touches God's heart for sinners to come. Yes, it does. Some years ago, Dr. Jay Sinkin, I told this story. It's been a blessing to my heart down through the years. He told how that there's a fellow came to a certain Bible institute that was much older than the rest of the preacher boys that was there. He had been preaching as well as some of them, but he was an older man. Started preaching late in life. And he said, this fellow came up one day and said, brother, come out. I've been praying about it. God, won't you come out and run a meeting? And I said, I will be today. I said, would you pray about it? Brother came out and said, I will. Said, you prayed about it. God said, I'm out there and preach a few days. So he went out. He said the first night that he went to that home to stay all night, heard an uneasy noise from the back bedroom. And the little preacher's wife looked at the bishop and evangelist and said, now you'll be staying here all week, and you'll be wondering what that racket is, what that noise is. I said, come here, I want to show you. She led him there to the bedroom, and there in a little baby bed was a child just about this long. Oh, listen, oh, brother, can I, said that mother, said the preacher, can I, said this is my oldest child. He said he looked in that bed. There was a boy, 18 years old, that had never grown much longer than that. His little head was pulled back to his side. He was blind, deaf, and mute. And old brother Knapp said that that little fellow's fingernails had grown out and it looked like claws on an animal's body. And he said the only racket and that noise that he was making was some kind of racket he could make with his vocal cords. And it sounded like an animal making some racket out in the woods somewhere. And he said that precious mother reached over, touched that little old feller, and the minute her hands touched him, listen, he came alive. Well, he began to try to smile. He went to clawing at the air with those fingernails that looked like claws. You see, those hands had always been his friend. When he was hungry, those hands were there to feed him. When his little body was dirty, those hands were there to wash him and change his clothes. When he was sick and his little body was fevered, in the wee hours of the morning, there's job those hands just there to take care of him. All the time for 18 years, he depended upon those hands, and those hands of always there. He said that precious little mother pulled that little deformed, that little blind, that little deaf and mute child of herself. And he said with tears running down her face, she said, brother, tonight, this is my oldest child, and I love him with all of my heart. Oh, when that preacher said that, I saw something. I saw something. I saw myself one day wretched, deformed, blind, deaf, mute, to the things that God Almighty, while the taking Jesus reached out, glory to God, and he touched me. Amen. The same way he did that old leper. Reached out and he touched me. By God, and the minute he did so, I'll tell you something happened. Remember, those hands had always been my friend. And I'll tell you, he'd always helped me. Yes, he had. And Jesus pulled me up to himself and said, Father, this is old Billy Kelly. He's done things he shouldn't have done, said things he shouldn't have said, acted ways he shouldn't have acted, gone places he shouldn't have gone. But Father, I love him. And for all that he's done, charge it to my account. Praise God, listen, friend. I want to tell you one thing tonight. Thank God, when Jesus comes, he opens the prison bars. I drove, I was tired. You tell me, look at my red head, don't want somebody fooling me too long. Amen. When a fellow's tired and give out, I drove all the way from the state of Florida. I got up in Kentucky, Williamsburg, Kentucky, started the meeting that morning. I got there about 4 o'clock. I was very exhausted, pulled up the churchyard. Didn't know where the preacher lived or anything. We hours in the morning like that, you wouldn't want to wake anybody. So I tried to get a little rest from the car, laid down in the seat. And after a while, I woke up, and it was daylight, and I found where the preacher lived. And he said to me, he said, look, he said, we're going to eat dinner today with one of the meanest men in this country. And said, he's a coal miner. They don't have any children. Said, he's bitter about that. And said, also, said, he's one of the meanest men in this country.
But he said, if you feel impressed to God to talk to him, then I'd sure appreciate it. But I'm going to tell you, he said, he's cussed every preacher out that's ever talked to him about God. I thought, now what did he want me to talk to him about, Lord? Amen. Here I am, tired to give out, and he wants me to go down there and get cussed out. Now, I thought to myself, now that preacher just wants to hear me get a good cuss. That's what he wants. So I made up my mind, I'd go to that fellow's house and eat his rations, and get out of there as quick as I could. That's just what I decided I'd do. So we went down to the house, and he didn't seem half as pleased as that preacher said. He's about size man, this brother sitting right here. I just didn't think he was all that mean. I reckon he was, but he just didn't look that mean to me. We went in there and sat down. He got to tell a few jokes. We talked a while, and he seemed like pretty like a little boy. After a while, his wife called us to the table. Boy, they had a piece of steak on my plate looked as big as that Bible. Was I ever glad to see that? I've been eating a lot of deer meat, dear old bologna and fat back and what have you, and I was glad to see that nice piece of steak. So, I tell you, we gave God thanks for it. I cut me a piece of that steak and put in that side. I got me another piece and put over in that side. And then I cut me another piece and put straight in the middle. In case one of those sides ran out, I have a ready supply. Amen. Well, this fellow started telling a joke. I thought to myself, oh boy, you just talk all you want to. You're not going to bother me a bit. I'm going to sit over here and every now and then I'll say, and that's all I'll do. And I'll eat this steak. And I'll have myself a big time. So he's telling this joke about halfway through that joke. God said to me, he said, you tell that fella that my son died on Calvary for him. I said, Lord, I say, got my mouth full of food. And Ma told me not to talk the food in my mouth. God said, tell him. I said, Lord, I can't. I said, it's rude to interrupt somebody while they're talking. God said, tell him. Boy, listen, now just imagine. Here this fella is, right in the middle of his joke. Right in the middle of his joke, me and my mouth full of food. I lolled that steak around a time or two and down it went. I looked across the table and I called his name. Cecil Early was his name. I said, Cecil, did you know Jesus Christ died for you on Calvary's cross? Now just imagine this man in the middle of his joke. Boy, he pushed back from the table. His countenance changed. And I saw what they was talking about then, brother. I'm going to tell you, bless God, his face got as red as a turkey gobbler snout. The veins popped out in his neck. It looked like sweat jumped out on his brow. His lips turned blue. His Adam's apple run up and down looked like 90 miles an hour. And he looked across the table. His old lips went to quivering. And tears started down his face. And he said, I know it, preacher. And I want to send it right now. I said, get out of here. Praise God. Not that time a big gust of wind blew the door open. And the telephone started ringing. Let me tell you, soul winners tonight, you know what I'm talking about, especially. But you go out and win souls for God, a younger that wouldn't cry if you used to stick him with a straight pin or have a temper tantrum when you get around trying to win somebody to God. I mean, a dog that wouldn't bark on a moonlight night will have a running fit when you're trying to win somebody to God. I told that man's wife, I said, you take the telephone off of the hook. I said, you shut every door, close every window. And I said, I need to get this man saved. Well, I got him on his knees, and I said, now, Cecil, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you some scripture here. I'm going to show you how to be saved. And then I said, I'm going to pray. And I said, when I get through praying, I said, I want you to tell God you're a sinner. Tell him you're sorry for your sins. Confess them to him. Ask him to forgive you for them. Amen. And I said, the Bible said, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So I took off a prayer. I got through and I said, Cecil, go ahead. Tell God you're a sinner and ask him to save you. He looked up as the hot, cold tears is running down. And he said, preacher, said he's all ready. Boy, when he said that, bless God, brother, called you, I forgot about that door being shut. I like to run through the thing. Thank God. It's time, when somebody gets saved by the grace of God Almighty. You want to put me on cloud nine? You let some mother's boy blow the maze, make their way to an old-fashioned altar. You let some mother's child come and bow before God and say, God, I'm a sinner. Save me for Jesus' sake. Glory to God, it turns me upside down. I mean, wheels inside of wheels go to turning when somebody wants to get born again. I was at the Greenville Rescue Mission in Greenville, South Carolina. There's a man sitting on the back seat. The place was packed. Oh, it was packed. They had a little kid sitting down in the altar, just crammed up. I stood up in a little hole all around them with people trying to get a place to sit. And there's a judge, the city judge, is sitting behind me. I forgot about him. I got wound up a preaching. I reached back like that and slapped and like to knock that judge's brains out. Well, I got by that, but it helped. The place was packed. When I gave the invitation that night, I saw a man that had been wiping his face, not with a handkerchief, but with an old rag. He jumped, it looked like two rows of seats. He hit the aisle, and here he comes. He came down on the big high platform, and there's a young boy from Bob Jones University laid almost on his stomach to talk to the man and on the from the big high platform. And as he leaned over and laid down almost to talk to him, he told that boy, he said, tonight, he said, I want to be saved. He said, I want the same Jesus my precious old mother has. My mother's been praying 37 years for me. And said, I want to know that same Jesus. Boy, listen, I'll tell you, after a while, I heard him cry out, God, I'm a sinner. Save me for Jesus' sake. And he gloriously got born again. And he turned to that young worker and he said, you know, tonight, he said, God's answered my mother's prayers. 37 years mama has been praying for me. Boy, it impressed that young worker. He got up and he said to Brother Tom Kirk, the director of the mission, he said, God answered that man's prayers tonight. Harry's mother prayers said, he got saved. Mama's been praying 37 years for him. Boy, that impressed Brother Kirk. He went on, he said, that better, your mother living? Yes, sir. Where does she live? Gainesville, Georgia. Does she have a telephone? Oh, yeah. He gave the number. Oh, Brother Kirk sent a worker to the office right next to the auditorium. Put in a long-distance phone call. He said, get Miss Brock on the line. I want to talk to her. Well, everybody was eavesdropping and enlisted. A little bit, that worker came out and said, Miss Brock's on the line. We heard old Brother Kirk say, hello, Miss Brock. This is Tom Kirk, the director of the Greenville Rescue Mission in Greenville, South Carolina. I just wanted to call you and tell you that your boy got saved tonight. Boy, when he said that, that old mother shouted on the other end of the line. She said, praise God! The Lord always hears and answers prayer. And she threw that telephone down, and old Brother Kirk said, you could hear it going through the house, slamming doors. And every now and then she passed that telephone, like the early morning special of going through town, hollering glory. Amen. Hallelujah. After a bit, she got slowed down enough to get hold of the telephone, and we heard that boy say, it's true, Mom. He said, it's true. Tonight, he said, I trusted Christ as my Savior, and said, I received Him, and He saved my soul tonight. But when he said that, Mama went into orbit again, and didn't have to go to Cape Kennedy to fire off. Didn't have to worry about the cat food burning up, or the oxygen running out, or worry about a soul safe landing. Hallelujah. Amen. See, they're shouting. You say, what are you shouting about? It's shouting time that somebody gets the present marshal, but thank God, and gets saved by the grace of God Almighty. Bless God, bless you, don't do nothing for me. That's what's wrong with you. You need rewinding. Yeah. Amen. And some of you recast it. Amen. It scares a person when somebody gets saved by God's grace. Some of these deadheads. One woman said to me the other day, I don't see nothing to smile about. I said, I look at you, I don't either. Amen. Some people never get happy about nothing. Bless God, makes me happy when somebody gets saved by the grace of God Almighty. That's right. Thrills my heart. Puts me on cloud nine. Now, my friends, God loves sinners. Down yonder at Hatchie's Baptist Church in West Tennessee, had a morning services, a revival meeting, about 10 o'clock. Most all the people's country working folks, and they'd get up early in the morning, go to the fields and work, and come out to that church for services. Have a little testimony, meet a little prayer meeting, and about 10:30 the evangelist would bring the message. On this particular morning, had the prayer meeting, testimony meeting. Now it's time for the evangelist to bring the message. About that time, there's an old mother, God bless her heart. Her hair was snow white, stood up and said, preacher, you're going to have to pardon me. She said, I've got a baby boy. It's lost on his road to hell. I'll tell you, my boy's 47 years old, preacher. I can't take it no longer. I've got to pray for my boy. That old mother moved out, started down, got in the altar there and began to pray, oh, God, save my boy. Lord, save my boy. She said, God, I'm going to stay in this altar till my boy gets saved. Oh, they sweep my bones out of this church house. Boy, you ever prayed like that for somebody? Mother, you ever prayed for a wayward child like that? For a drunken husband? You ever call on God to save a neighbor like that? God, I'm going to stay here till they get saved. Oh, they sweep my bones out of the church. They stayed till about 12 o'clock.
The pastor said to the evangelist, what are we going to do? The evangelist said, we'll die with us. That's what it takes. Amen. We'll get him saved. About 1 o'clock, most all the people, country folks, done left. Only about 10 or 12 left, maybe 15 at the most. Some of them would get down, pray a little while, get up, shout a while. But not old Granny. God, I mean it. I'm going to stay here till my boy gets saved. I'll just sweep my bones out of this church house. Oh, listen. 2 o'clock, she's still crying to God. 3 o'clock. Oh, God, I mean it. I mean it, Jesus. I'm going to stay here till my baby boy gets saved. I'll just sweep my bones out of this church. 4 o'clock. Sometime after 4, listen to this. All of a sudden, an old church door swung open. There's an old boy with an old dirty pair overalls on, an old blue work shirt. He had an old work hat in his hand, and he was a hollering. You could hurt him for a mile. Hello! Hello! He said, God save you, fell in the cornfield. And I'm something else to tell you about it. Praise God, Mr. Friend. It's time. Let somebody get saved by the grace of God Almighty. You get thrilled about it. Nothing will bless you anymore to see Jesus open the prison bars. Look at him in the Word of God. When they went up there to Jacob's well, get a drink. There's a woman came up. She was a Samaritan. He said, I'd like a drink. She said, what are you doing talking to me? Aren't you a Jew? I'm a Samaritan. I'm nothing but a dog in your sight. Jesus said, if you knew who it was talking to you, you'd ask me for a drink. Well, that sounds like double talk, doesn't it? Just got through asking her for a drink, and now that he tells her, if you knew who he's talking to, you'd ask me for one to start with. She looked at him, you know what she said? She said, the well's deep, and you don't have a bucket. But bless God, he didn't need no bucket. Amen! He is the well, by God! He said, if you drink of this water that I have, you will never thirst again. Boy, that woman saw something she'd never seen before. She took off the towel and she said, I want you to come see a man that told me all things. And the Bible said a multitude became believers because of that woman's testimony. You believe God loves sinners? You believe God opens prison doors? Watch this one. Here's a woman taking the very act of adultery. They're going to stone her to death. I mean, they're going to fix her up. They're going to kill her. Jesus looked at him and said, you without sin, you go ahead and throw the first stone. They wasn't one little pebble thrown. Not one. You know why? It's probably as crooked as she was. That's the reason why. You're welcome. They used to turn folks out of church. They don't do that no more neither. They can't get up enough to run the rest of them all. How'd you like that, huh? Come on, brother. Hey! Yeah. Said, ye that sin, you catch the first stone. One of one could throw a rock. And Jesus began to write in the sand with his finger. There's 3 times in the Bible when God wrote with his finger. The first time he wrote with his finger was on a stone on top of Mount Sinai. That was law. The next time we read about God writing with his finger was at Belshazzar's party. There appeared the hand of a man. God began to write on the plaster above the candlesticks on the wall. That's judgment. But the last time you ever read about God writing with his finger, he was writing in the sand. I used to wonder what he's writing. Well, that's plain as the nose on your face. He just told a girl her sins are forgiven. He's writing amazing grace. Don't you believe that? Glory! I can just write amazing grace. Thank God. And he looked at that girl and said, your sins are forgiven. I just see that poor girl, she walks down a trail with a skip in her heel, thank God, and a smile on her face. What happened? A transaction between heaven and earth had just opened her prison bars. God loves sinners. God cares for sinners. God opens the sinner's prison bars. As sure as you say, you say, preacher, I've never had that happen to me. Well, that's the reason I'm bringing you the good news tonight. God loves sinners. He doesn't love sin, but he loves sinners. Huh? God doesn't care one thing about your old crooked, nasty, filthy, low-down sin, but God loves sinners. Yes, he does. I was preaching at the famous Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, Illinois, and we got down that morning about 6 o'clock. We had to get up at 3 o'clock to get downtown. I mean, we was already in town and had to get up early to get downtown. That's the biggest place I've been in my life. And we got down there to that famous Pacific Garden Mission. I thought there would be a handful there at 6 o'clock in the morning. Who in the world is going to be in a place like that at 6 o'clock? Did you know what? We almost had to get a policeman to get us in. I never seen such a crowd in my life. Brother, those crowds are up and outs, down and outs. Everything you could think of, every kind of a sinner you could think of was gathered out that morning. They escorted us in there. And when we got on the platform, I looked over there, said old Billy Sunday's grand piano that they used in his big campaign. Not a soul there to play it. Isn't that pitiful?
Yeah.
Isn't that pitiful? No musician to play that wonderful instrument. And there's all those sinners sitting there. But I'm going to tell you something. These old big aristocratic churches and all this crowd that was so interested in their numbers on Sunday morning, why didn't they have a number down there hipping out, bless God?
Yeah.
Huh? Amen? I mean, that's where the hardcore sinners are, my friend. Yes, sir. Nobody to play that musical instrument. There's a big old thick-tongued German got up that was over yonder in Germany when Adolf Hitler was in power. And he got up, he never told them who I was or where I was from. You know what he said? In his broken English, he's going to preach to you. That's all he said. Nobody sung a song. Nobody prayed a prayer. He didn't even tell them who I was. And said he's going to preach to you. Well, I got up, and boy, I wasn't really ready to preach. I mean, I thought they ought to have some kind of little preliminary there. And I wasn't really ready to preach. And in desperation, I turned to my preacher friend. I said, how about leading us to the song? He said, I can't, boy, I would have done a dog that way. I'd said she'd been coming around the mountain or something else. That's right, but I'd done something. I'd sung Yankadoodle or something, but I'd sung something. I would have done a dog that way. And here it is, Monday morning, to meet a horse, I couldn't hardly talk. Of course, I think a preacher that's not horse on Monday, they ought to fire me to hell. Amen! That's right. Bless God, I couldn't hardly talk, and that fellow told me he couldn't sing. I thought, well, boy, I'm going to preach. So I took my text and started. I couldn't hardly talk, and all the time I started cranked up, I was begging God down in the recesses of my soul to help me somehow. I said, Lord, if this thing happens here this morning, you'll have to do it. After a while, boy, God opened my throat up. I tell you what the truth is. It looked like there's 800 or 900 people packed in that place. And way back yonder was a room all of itself. And they had the worst drunks back there. I mean, fellas are drunk that they could come into the service. They had them in a separate room. And I tell you, God got on me. And after a while, I came down to the end of the message. Boy, I was wound up, Brother Mays, like you get here. And I said, now then, I want the song leader to come, the musicians to come.
It don't know we didn't have a song.
And in desperation, now, listen, I'm desperate now. I said to my preacher friend, well, would you come lead us the song? He said, man, I can't sing. I said, everybody stand. They're going to sing Amazing Grace. I thought everybody knew Amazing Grace, saints and sinners alike. Amazing. They wouldn't know about singing with me. I still like God looking at me. Well, I said, you don't know the words? Well, let's just hum Amazing Grace. Mm-hmm. Well, nobody humming but me. Devil said, you're the biggest fool I've seen in my life. He said, no wonder you look like you look. It just fits the part. He said, you're the goofiest goof I've ever seen. Boy, I got the feeling. I tell you what truth, I want to quit. I just wanted to throw the towel in and quit them. That's just about the way I felt. And then God said, son, you preach the truth and give this plea. And I said, fellas, men and women, I said, you don't know the song Amazing Grace. You don't even know Amazing Grace. You don't know the author of Amazing Grace. I said, it wasn't John Newton. That's not the author of it. Bless God, God's the author of Amazing Grace. And I said, this one on tell you don't get nothing else. God loves sinners. If you'd like to go to heaven when you die, or before you die, or get saved before you die, I said, would you come on right now? Boy, I'm telling you, the aisles flooded. Bless God, here come 8 in one drove. An old colored boy was leading the whole crowd. That's one time I almost got integrated. Amen. I jumped down there in my Bible, and I could tell the way he talked. He's a southerner. I said, where are you from? He said, Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And boy, he went to weeping. He said, I want to know the same Jesus my old mammy knows down yonder in Hattiesburg. Boy, he got to crying. And boy, I tell you, I heard such confessing. Praise God. I tell you, folks began to get saved, or at least they made a profession of faith all over that place. Now, here's what I'm saying. God opened the prison bars. You say, does God still do that? He's in that business tonight. I don't care how hard they are or where they come from. God can save him. The worst of the worst. I was standing time, standing in you. Out in Jonesboro, Tennessee, I saw a man that took a 45 loaded wife's brain. I heard him cry, God save him for Jesus' sake. David, Tennessee, I saw a man that had taken his little baby by the ankles, beat his brains out against the wall, screamed to God, save me for Jesus' sake. And God reached down and saved him. And that's been the story through all these years of my ministry, friend. And where people call on God, yes, God opened the prison bars. Now let's look at another angle of this for just a moment, and then I'll close tonight. Not only does God save sinners and open the prison bars for them, but God opens the prison bars for Christians that are bound up and locked up. You'd be surprised how many Christians across America tonight are bound. When Jesus went down to the grave of Lazarus and said, come forth, I don't believe anybody got a pick and shovel, got there and dug him out and helped him out. I believe he came forth. Amen. I believe he stood there in the grave clothing. Now, if you'd have opened the grave clothing around his eye, he could have seen you. You'd have pushed your finger in his eye and it hurt him. You could open the grave clothing around his mouth, stuck a chicken leg in there, he could eat that thing. That's right. But he couldn't have handled it. He's bound up. You could took a straight pin, stuck it, and he'd it hurt him. Yeah. He is alive, but he is bound. Now, these people are not, listen, they're alive. They're saved. They're not going to go to hell. That's right. I was over here in Georgia last week, and the woman said to me as I walked the store, she heard about my preaching ringing up at the church. She said, hey, said, you believe people dip stuff, go to hell? I said, no, ma'am. I said, I believe you go to heaven, but I said, if you dip and go to heaven, you'll have to go to hell to spit. If I lived back as well as some folks, I'd spit in a fruit jar, set it in the refrigerator, and drink it. I got just as much right to spit in your drinking water as you have to blow smoke in my ear. Listen, I'm not trying to be mean, but some of the most inconsiderate people on the face of this earth are smokers. You go in a restaurant, order you a good meal, this guy next table, or he just getting through. I mean, he's done through. He'll say nothing about you. He'll get out an old stove and fire that thing up. You never have a book. She tastes like a camel. Or two bros. I heard about three women arguing about the most important person ever lived. One of them said, I'll tell you right now, that Eli Whitney made that cotton gin, said, I believe he's the smartest man ever lived. Well, other two agreed, but another said, I'll tell you, that Alexander Bell made that telephone. Said, I believe he's the smartest man ever lived. And others spoke up. She said, well, I'll tell you that now. That Levi Garrett wasn't nobody's fool. this, and I see somebody reach up. Oh.
Hey!
You want your prison bars open? One guy told me.